Have you noticed that some people seem to grow faster spiritually than others? Anybody else notice this? It's like some people, it's like some people have this special sauce for spiritual growth. And I don't know where they got it, because I don't have it, but they picked it up somewhere and they're, you know, dumping it on their devotions and growing in the Lord like crazy. Then I noticed, have you noticed other people, it seems like they've just stopped growing. And maybe this is happening in your own life. Maybe you are thinking about your own life. I've just kind of stopped growing. I've stunted in my growth, but I see other people growing. Or maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe you're the one that's growing, and maybe you're married to a person that's like, man, they just, what's going on? Or maybe it's somebody that you've led to Christ, and maybe you're discipling them, and it feels like, what happened here? Why do some people grow faster than others? Why do some people actually never seem to grow? And it's like, well, how do we fix this? I see, this isn't a new problem. Because when Jesus walked on this earth, he told stories and parables and gave illustrations, did a lot of teaching about this very thing to help people grow spiritually. Jesus realized that there were people who were religious, but who were not growing spiritually. That still happens today. But back when Jesus walked on the earth, he realized that people might know a lot about the Bible, but they had stopped growing. Jesus realized that spiritual growth is not automatic. Automatic, that sounds funny. Automatic. Some words you can't just break up slowly. And so in his teaching and his parables and his stories and things, he talked about ways that people could grow. And today's no exception. And we've picked up, I hope, from Jesus at Open Door, we've picked up the same mentality. We're here to help people grow. So, you know, we're always talking about what's your next step. And we believe that everybody has a next step. Whether you're already a Christian and you're growing in Christ, or whether you're maybe here today and you're not a Christian yet. If that's you, I am so glad you're here. Maybe you're exploring Christ. Maybe you're just exploring the Bible, exploring church, just kind of kicking the tires. Love it. We're so glad you're here. But wherever you are, exploring Christ or just young in Christ, or maybe you're very mature in Christ. All of us have a next step. And it's when you stop taking that next step, when you think, well, I'm grown enough, I'm enough like Christ, which if you think you are, just check with your family. You'll be able to find out real quickly you're not. But for whatever reason, when we stop taking steps with Jesus, we stop growing. Our growth gets stunted. So we preach sermons here at Open Door. We produce resources. We have retreats. We have classes. We have all kinds of things that we offer to help you take your next step, to help you keep growing, because that's the blessed life, to keep growing in the Lord. And I don't know if you know this, but you don't have to stop growing. There's nowhere where it says that you have to stop. You have to plateau. You can only grow so far, and then you got to stop. No, you may see that in other people's lives, but that doesn't mean it has to be true for you. You can continue to grow in the Lord until you see him in glory. In fact, that's the idea, that we just keep growing to be more and more like Jesus until we see him face to face. So if you're interested in taking and finding out what your next step is, you can go to our website. And when you go to our website, you'll find the thing that says, you know, next steps. Click that, and it'll bring you to this page. And I put a red arrow. This arrow is not on our website. But I put a red arrow because it's easy to miss this gray box down here. You click that. It says next step survey. And maybe you say, I've heard of that before. Yes, I hope you have. That is some place you can click. And based upon the answers to your questions, not somebody else's idea, but how you fill out this survey, it'll spit back to you some next steps that are customized to where you are. So please don't do that right now, because I know it sounds exciting. I spent a lot of time working on this years ago. But please take that. You can take that several times a year. You don't have to just take it once and kind of get a feel of, where am I spiritually? It's one of my beliefs that a lot of people are clueless about where they are spiritually. Either they think they're more mature than they are, or they think, you know, I haven't grown at all, and this next step survey will help get you off of zero. It'll open your eyes to where you are and help you identify what could be a next step for you. And that's so important to us that we are launching a series today. Well, we're calling this series an excursion. We do this every once in a while where we spend 6 or 7 weeks just focusing in on one topic. And the topic that we're focusing in on is, what is your next step with God's word? Because there's lots of different next steps to take in this particular area. What's your next step in God's word? I'm going to be preaching from a story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 8. So if you want to turn there to Luke 8, we're just going to stay close to what Jesus said. This is not going to be a topic that I'm just kind of made up out of the blue. All of our preaching at Open Door is expositional. We're just opening up what Jesus says. But as I step back and look at Luke 8, and I realize kind of the bigger picture of what Jesus is doing, I'm like, oh man, this would be such a cool excursion. So we're going to spend 7 weeks in this passage. If you'll stand with me, we'll start reading from verse 4. And this is all designed to help each one of us take our next step with God's word. Jesus is going to unveil a series of secrets. And I'm not using that word secrets because I wanted to. It's because Jesus uses it. And you'll see in this passage where it happens. Luke 8, 4. I guess I better put that on the screen. Here we go. While a large crowd was gathering, Jesus is with his disciples, and this large crowd gathers. People were coming to Jesus from town after town, and he told them this parable. Quote, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he had said this, when he had finished the teaching, he called out. That word means to cry in a loud voice. He cried out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. His disciples came up to him and said, can you explain this parable? What does it mean? So verse 10, he said, now Jesus is going to explain the parable. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom. There's that word secrets. We've been talking about the kingdom of God the last 3 weeks. So Jesus is still talking about the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. Let me explain the parable. Verse 11. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. So those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. The second kind, you know, those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, and we all have times of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns, that's the third kind of soil, stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked. The weeds choke out their life. The weeds are choked by life's worries, by their riches, by pleasures, and they don't mature in the Lord. But the fourth soil, the seed on good soil. Everybody say good soil. The good soil, ooh, good, stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. One translation says produces a harvest, a huge harvest. Okay, you may be seated. So what's the point? This is a long story. Actually, it's a short story and then a long explanation. What's Jesus's point here? Well, it's a story about spiritual growth. And since we know that the seed is the word of God, you can write this down in your notes. Here's the first point. If you want to grow, you need. I know I just asked you to say a word with me. Let's all say this word together. You need the word of God. Now, I know some of you don't like to be needy. You're like, I want to be needy. But Let me just tell you, you need the Word of God. That is, if you want to grow. If you don't want to grow, you obviously don't need the Word of God. But you're here in church today. You're here for a purpose. You want to grow in the Lord. I think I have said this multiple times, but I keep seeing these studies that come out from time to time. And they almost always ask a similar question to this. For those of you who have grown spiritually, what has been the biggest factor in your spiritual growth? And without fail, over and over again, the vast, overwhelming majority of the answers are the factor that helped me grow the most was the Word of God, or I should say, the Word of God. I mean, it's just crazy. Over and over and over again, we keep hearing this. So Jesus tells this story about growth and about kingdom growth and about how significant the Word of God is in that growth time. And he does it by, as I said, telling the story in verses 5-8 and then explaining it in verses 11-15. So I put this slide up because I'm going to toggle back and forth between the verses 5-8 where he gives the parable, and then I'm going to slide into verses 11-15. And it's going to feel like I'm jumping all over the place because I am. But I just want you to know what I'm doing, okay? So here we go, verse 5. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, let's just stop right there. As he's scattering the seed, let's pause and let's just be real clear. What is the seed? Because this is a metaphor, it's a parable. The point is not the seed and the ground and the harvest. The point is the spiritual truth behind it. And so in verse 11, we find immediately the seed is the Word of God. So write that in your notes up here. Every time you see the word seed in this story, it's pointing to the Word of God that's being sown. And that means it's being preached. That means it's being taught. Jesus is the farmer, the sower in this story. And what he's saying is that every time someone preaches, teaches, every time you read the Word of God, every time you hear the Word of God, the seed of the Word of God is being sown into people's lives. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm a sower. I'm sowing, teaching on the Word of God. This Saturday, we have a discipleship retreat that I'm going to be leading, and I invite you to come, and I'll be sowing the Word of God. And like Jesus, I'll be out in a field, and I'll be in, you know, a quarry. I love doing this. If you've never been, or even if you have been, come join us. But you got to sign up because I need to help you understand what's going to happen. But it's this Saturday from 8:30 to 12:30, I'll be sowing. When you go to one of our classes here at Open Door, the seed is being sown. When you hear teaching or preaching from the Word of God, wherever it is, if you listen to the Word on an audio or as you're reading the Word is being sown into your life. But where specifically is it landing in your life? Well, that's the next thing I want you to see, because in verse 12, it talks about how the seed lands in their hearts. So the soil, the four kinds of soil, that pictures our hearts. What Jesus is saying is that as the word is being preached, as it's being taught, as it's being sown, it lands on four different kinds of hearts. And here's the four. Verse five is the hard soil. Verse six is the rocky soil. Again, and this represents heart. So a hard heart, a heart that's like rocky soil, a heart that's got like thorns and weeds in it, and then the good soil. And as this teaching goes on, people are listening going, well, what's my heart? Which one am I? And I would like for you to think the same thing. So I'm going to have our ushers come in all of our services, all of our campuses right now, and they're going to pass out some physical, literal seeds. And so help them out and pass these down the aisles. It'll just take us a couple of seconds. And these are significant seeds. These are seeds from an olive tree. These are olive tree seeds. So please only take one, pass it down, and We'll just get through this pretty quickly. I've got a seed too here in my pocket. And you got to understand, when Jesus was teaching, most of the time he taught in fields or out by the lake, by the Sea of Galilee. When Mark, you know, there's four Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. When Mark tells this exact same story of Jesus telling the parable of the soils, the parable of the seeds, Mark says it happened with a large crowd that was so big that Jesus got into a boat. And so Jesus is sitting in a boat and he pushes out a little bit and it's like a natural megaphone. I've actually taken people to Israel and we've practiced this. You hear people in a boat talking and the water kind of magnifies the voice. Well, sometimes we've done it, sometimes we haven't. But it magnifies the voice. And one person sitting in a boat can talk to thousands of people up on a hill sitting there among grass and weeds and soil. So when Jesus is telling this story, people are literally sitting in soil that has grown grass or wheat or, you know, again, weeds or maybe thorns, hopefully not. There's rocks all over the place. So this is a real natural setting. It makes total sense for them. They get it. Here, I just visited all the campuses last Sunday, so I think I can say this. I don't know of any campus that has soil and seeds and weeds and grass growing in the auditorium. So unless something happened in the last week, I was at all three campuses last week, the satellite campuses. So, and here I don't see any grass or any soil. So we're in a very antiseptic, comfortable setting. But the people listening to Jesus were sitting there with places that are full of grass and weeds and everything. So it was really easy for them to think about the seed landing in the soil right next to them. So to help us kind of get into this, now that you all have a seed, I want you to take the seed in your dominant hand, whether it's your right hand or your left hand, you know which one's dominant. And your other hand, hold it out and cup your hand. So we're going to take the seed and you're going to place it in your hand and cup it so it doesn't fall out. And we're going to pretend your hand is like your heart, okay? So that's why I said, you know, hold it there. And now close your hand over the seed so it's you've got it there. You're not going to lose it. And unless you have a very dirty hand, it's probably not going to, you know, start sprouting. But if it does, you got problems. Woo! We can talk later. But no, close that over. So would you hold on to that seed all sermon long? I'm only going to preach 3 hours today. So if your hand starts to cramp at hour two, just you kind of relax it. But I want you to hold it because that's going to represent your heart because you can't. No one's doing open heart surgery today and sticking the seed in there. So just kind of hold on to that. And that's as that seed is there. And throughout today's sermon, I want you to ask this question. As the seed of the word of God is sown in today's sermon, all that's already been going on in the next couple of minutes, ask yourself, what's the condition of my heart? Remember, we looked at the hard heart, the rocky heart, the thorny heart, the good soil heart. Which one is you? And just kind of monitor your heart, monitor what you're thinking about as I'm preaching today, because this is going to be a very significant point as we move throughout the sermon. And that seed landing on our hearts then produces something. Here in verse 15, says the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. In the NLT, it says it produces a harvest, actually a huge harvest. So we've got the seed is the word of God. The sower is the preacher or the teacher. The soil is our hearts. And then the harvest, let's get these kind of the setting down. The harvest, what's that? Well, it's not the wheat and the barley and everything. It's your life produces a harvest. Is it a harvest that's of a flourishing life? Or is it a harvest of weeds? You know, is your life producing joy? Is your life a blessing? So you could write down some of these things are a picture of what the harvest is, a flourishing life, a a life of blessing, spiritual fruit, meaning love, joy, peace, kindness. Galatians chapter 5, verses 23 and 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is, that's a harvest in your life. Or the harvest could be you winning other people to Christ. Jesus said, open your eyes. The fields are ripe in the harvest, meaning there's thousands of people who need to come to Christ. So when you help somebody come to Christ, that's a harvest. So this language is Old Testament language. It's New Testament language. It's agrarian language. But we now kind of get the setting of what's going on here. And Jesus is talking about a harvest that is massive. It says in verse 8, it produces a harvest 100 times what was sown. That's a good harvest. One seed produces 100 seeds. That's really good harvest. And isn't that what we all want in our lives? Someone shake your head. I mean, no, nobody says out loud, I want to have a miserable harvest in my life. I want to ruin my life. I want to ruin my relationships. I want to ruin my marriage. I want to ruin my children. I want to ruin my neighbors. I want to ruin my finances and my bank account. I want to ruin everybody. I just want my life to just be a chaotic mess where I ruin everybody. Now, no one says that, but every once in a while you watch the way somebody lives, don't you? And you think to yourself, oh my gosh, do you realize what you're doing? You know, they're living out Galatians 6:7, where Paul says, whatever you sow, you'll reap. So if you're reaping chaos, if you're reaping disobedience, I'm sorry, if you're sowing chaos, you're sowing self-centeredness, you're sowing disobedience, you're going to reap that in your life. So Paul writes that, and Jesus tells a story just to kind of remind us what goes into your heart is supposed to, will produce, you know, something. So since no one says, I want to ruin my life, I don't want to have a harvest of good things, I think most of us, maybe all of us would say, I want a flourishing life, a life of blessing, spiritual fruit and joy. I want that in my life. So if you want a good harvest, then what do you need to do? Well, the way Jesus tells the story, that means you need to pay attention to what kind of soil. This is true in the physical world, and it's true in the spiritual world. If you want a good harvest, you must have good soil. Now, how many kinds of soil, just shout out, how many kinds of soil did Jesus talk about? 4? Oh, yeah, you're right. There's 4. But actually, if you look really closely, you'll see it's not 4. Open your Bibles. What do you mean it's not 4? Well, let me put it this way. The first 3 soils, so the hard, packed down soil, the rocky soil, and the thorny soil, what do they have in common? They have in common that they do not produce a harvest, whereas the 4th soil does. So you could actually say there's 2 kinds of soil. There's the good harvest, that's the 4th one, the good soil, and then there's the first 3, the no harvest soil. And as Jesus tells this story, we begin to realize the point here is not finding some good seed. The point is, what is the condition of the soil of your heart? You guys get that? What is the condition of the soil of your heart? Write this down. The condition of your heart determines, that's a very strong word, determines the harvest in your life. So if you have the hard-soiled heart, there isn't going to be a harvest. If your heart is full of rocks and thorns, that's going to choke it out. You're not going to have a harvest. You want a good soil kind of heart so that way you can produce a harvest. So that begs the question, how do I know? I mean, I want good soil, right? How do I know if my heart is full of good soil? And this is where things just got really exciting with me and the Lord this past couple of weeks. Actually, before that, I've been studying this passage for a long time. God opened my eyes to see something I'd never seen before. I can't wait to share with you. It's like kind of unlocks the whole passage for me. And so the answer to this question, how do I know my heart is good soil? I think it starts to be found at the end of verse 8. So again, verses 5-8, Jesus tells the story. He wraps it up in verse 8 with the good soil. Then he says, so he's done now, and he summarizes, he wraps up by saying, I'm at the end of verse 8, when he said this, he called out. And this word call is the word to cry out loudly. So he's been speaking at one tone of voice, or, you know, this kind of, you know, and then he raises his voice and calls out, cries out. Hey, I don't want you to miss this. This is the key to what I'm saying. And here's the phrase. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And at first glance, you're like, okay, that sounds, you know, really mystical. Don't we all have ears? Is this a problem in the first century? Is that there was a lot of people who were just missing ears? No, that's not what Jesus is doing here. What he's talking about is something that we all understand. You can hear, but not hear. Do I need to explain that? Okay, those of you who are not married, I need to explain that to you. Because if you're married, you get it. Or those of you who don't have kids, I need to explain that to you. Because if you got kids, you understand that kids can hear, but not hear, right? Is that what Jesus is saying? To whoever has ears, let them hear. Well, not only is that a very significant phrase that I admit is a little bit mystical, but then God showed me how often the word hear shows up in this story. And I'm like, ooh, this is interesting. I'm going to walk you through this real quick. So back to the text, the phrase, whoever has ear to hear, let them hear. That's got two times. I'm going to circle these. If you want to circle in your Bible, you can do that. I write in my Bible all the time. Because this is going to be a significant point. So circle the word here every time I show it to you. And then at the same time, let's count, okay? So this is how many times? 1, 2, okay. The next time we see the word here shows up down in verse 10. Though hearing, they may not understand. That's our third time. And then we get to verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear. Is that 3 or 4? 4, okay, right? 4? Okay, 4. Then we come down to verse 13. Those who are on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy. When they hear it, now we're at number 5. And then when the word shows up again in verse 14, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear. And now there's one more down in verse 15, a noble, good heart who hear. Do you recognize that all four soils, all four hearts, all four kinds of people hear the word? You, if you didn't recognize that, you might think to yourself, well, the people that grew, it's because they heard the word, but the other ones didn't. No, the parable goes out of its way, it seems to me, to point out that every single group heard. They hear, but are they really hearing? And how many hears did we get? What's the number? 7, the number of completion. Oh, that's interesting. I don't know what other translations have, but in the NIV, there's 7 hears in this story. Then, if your Bible is still open, the very next story that Jesus tells in Luke 8:18 is this story that we'll get to in a couple of weeks of light. And then he wraps up that by saying, therefore, big word. This is kind of basically the whole point I'm trying to say is this. Consider carefully how you listen. If you have the ESV, it's the word hear. In the Greek, it's the word hear. It's the same ones we saw. So you got 7 times the word hear in the story, and then you have this summary, akouo is the word. We get our word acoustics. We know this word, acoustics, akouo. So Jesus wraps up these two stories by saying, therefore, here's the point, consider carefully how you hear. So that's the answer to the question we were asking. How do I know if my heart is good soil? Remember, that's the question we're asking. It's based upon how I hear. So you can write this down like this. The condition of your heart is revealed. We can get to the answer to what is your heart like. It's revealed by how well you hear. Now, if you've got physical notes that you're filling out, right underneath that, you've got 4 sets of 2 of lines. And I want you to put the letters H-E-A-R. Yes, I'm going to create an acronym. Somebody teased me this past week about all the acronyms. And I thought, really? I actually don't use a lot of acronyms in my sermons. In fact, you can't find a sermon where I have an acronym unless it's one of these major things like the Christ acronym that we keep repeating. Because I reserve acronyms as a memory device to help you remember something. And if I give it, every sermon has an acronym, then you're not going to remember anything. So this is one I want you to stick. Every time you hear the word, that's reading the Bible for yourself in the morning or at night, hearing it taught, hearing it preached, I want to teach you a way of hearing, Jesus's way of hearing. Actually, the Bible's way of hearing, because we see this pattern in the Old Testament as well. There's a way of hearing, actually how we said that was, you can hear but not hear, right? You can hear, but not capital H-E-A-R. So starting today and over the next couple of weeks in this excursion, I'm going to teach you the biblical way of hearing, Jesus' way of hearing, God's way of hearing, the hearing that brings a harvest. Because clearly, people with hard hearts, stony hearts, thorny hearts, they heard, but they didn't hear the way the Bible tells us to hear. They didn't hear the way Jesus is going to teach us how to hear and how I want to help us learn to hear. So this whole idea, let's go back now to our agrarian illustration, our agrarian metaphor here. If you want good soil, you want it to be plowed up, you want it to be fertile, what do you need to do? Well, you know, you got to prepare it. You got to cultivate it. You can't just walk out there into a field and start sowing seed. There is no field in Israel at the time of Jesus. There is no field in Israel today. There is no field anywhere in the world that has perpetually good soil that's all plowed up and ready to plant there. As soon as you plow it, it's fertile, it's open, it's ready to receive the seed, but then if you don't, you know, keep doing that, then weeds get in there. And the heart's the same way. Listen to this carefully. Your heart will grow whatever you plant in it. That's a life principle. Your heart, moms and dads, your kids' hearts will grow whatever is planted in it. So Jesus is using this powerful metaphor to help us see that if you want good soil in your heart, you got to prepare just like in your yard, just like in your fields. So how do you go about preparing this good soil? Well, let's start by spending our last couple minutes together diving into this first kind of soil of the four, the hard trampled soil. So we see that in verse 5, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled and the birds ate it up. That's the first kind of soil out of the four soils. And so we now know that this is a picture of the word being preached, and this is a picture of some people's hearts. Maybe this is your heart. Your heart is a heart that is like the path. What does that mean? Well, when we go to Israel, and by the way, some of you know that we were going to go to Israel in October of this year. And some of you have said, Jim, please don't go. It's too dangerous over there. Well, we just heard this past week from the people in Israel who are saying, please don't come. And so we're not. So those of you who were concerned about us, we're not going. We're going to go next year. So we're already starting to plan and pay attention in the months to come. We'll put a new group together. But just, we don't ever want to go on a trip that's unsafe. And it just, things don't look good over there. Anyway, so when I take people there, I sometimes will point out how a lot of the soil in Israel is high clay content. My backyard is like this. A lot of clay. So in Israel, it never rains in California or in Israel from like May to November. I don't mean rarely, I mean never. And so that hot sun, 100 degrees, 110 degrees, 120 degrees, the summer sun. My friend Alan was just in Israel a couple of weeks ago, and it was hot, wasn't it? Summer's a rough time to go to Israel. It was hot there, and so when you got high clay content and a sun that's beating down on it, and then you start walking on this path, that dirt, that soil gets compacted. It gets hard. And so you know, there's all these paths through the fields. So when you're sowing seeds, some of it's going to land on these paths that, people are walking back and forth on, and that animals are walking back and forth on, and that the sun is beating down on, and that carts are being rolled on, and there's no moisture to soften it. So it just gets harder and harder and harder. And that's what Jesus is using to describe people's hearts. Hard, resistant hearts. That's the first soil that Jesus describes. And again, this is not a new idea. This imagery is in the Old Testament all over the place, where God describes the hearts of the people of Israel. Does this describe your heart, by the way, this morning? He describes the hearts of the people of Israel as hard, stiff. He says, you're stiff-necked. So he's talking about their necks. He's talking about their hearts. In Zechariah, let me show you this verse from Zechariah chapter 7. He talks about the people made their hearts as hard as flint. That's stone, right? So I went into my backyard, and I've got some sandstone, which is not as hard as flint, but it's still hard. God says their hearts are like as hard as flint, and they would not listen. You have the same imagery of, you know, stones and hard hearts and listening. Same imagery. Jesus didn't invent this. He just used something that people talk about. And so their hearts are being described with stone. So I've got my seed. You've got your seed, but I have a stone and you don't. And hopefully nobody has a stony heart so I can bounce it off their chest. But this is the picture that when the seed is sown, I'm just going to just, it just, you know, even if I put it on there gently, it just bounces because the heart, the stone is hard. It can't absorb. It can't, the seed can't rest there and settle there. It just bounces off. So Jesus is saying that when the word is preached, it's like there are some people whose hearts are as hard as flint, and that seed does not rest in their hearts. It's like a stone that it just bounces off. And when Jesus talks about this and says that some seed lands on the path, it gets trampled on because people are walking in this path, and the birds then come and eat it up, because it's like a seed landing on your cement walk or your cement driveway. If the seed lands in the cracks, it might grow something, right? But if you see a seed in the middle of a sidewalk or in the middle of a driveway and there's no cracks, nothing's gonna grow there. Like landing on this stone. And that is a very graphic picture of someone's heart. But it gets worse, because when Jesus talks about the birds coming and eat it up, this is in verse 5. He's going to now explain it down in verse 12. The birds are pictured as the devil. See that? The birds ate it up. The devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. I have a friend named Stephanie who hates birds. She just, I mean, when they're flying around, she's like, ah, Stephanie, this verse is for you. Clearly, the birds are the devil. This should be Stephanie's life verse. So now she has biblical support for why birds are so bad. For those of you who are bird lovers, ornithologists, is that what it is? Sorry. But in this story, it's the devil comes and takes away the word that's sown. Do you realize what Jesus is saying here? If any of you today have hard hearts, resistant hearts, as I'm preaching, as I'm teaching, whatever value that is of things that I'm saying and reading, it's of no value to you because your heart is hard and resistant, and Satan comes and takes it right out of your heart. Isn't that a terrifying thought? And some of you are like, wait, are you saying that Satan is more powerful than God's word? How can Satan take out the word of God out of someone's heart? Well, the preposition matters. He doesn't take it out of their heart because it never entered their heart. The parable, the seed lands or bounces, and now it's easy for the birds, it's easy for Satan to come and pluck that thought out. So whatever truth that's being helping other people today, it's not helping you because your heart is hard and resistant. I know this is kind of a hard thing to hear, but this is the picture that Jesus is painting. A hard, resistant heart blocks you from hearing and makes you susceptible to Satan coming and stealing the seeds. But recognize that Satan cannot. See, if you look at this story, Satan doesn't show up anywhere else in the story. These other soils that don't produce a harvest, it's not Satan. He's not blaming Satan. He's only blaming Satan for the first one, because the word of God never even gets to penetrate your heart because your heart was so hard. So I don't want anyone to think that, you know, I'm trying to listen, I'm trying to hear, but Satan keeps taking my mouth. No, he's not doing that. He can't do that. Satan can only steal seeds from the resistant areas. So if you're saying, I want to be open to God, I want to hear what God has to say, then you don't have a hard heart. Okay? So don't no false guilt here. If you're open to hear what God has to say, you're gonna hear it. Jesus is describing the people then and now who are like closed off. And by the way, I've learned I can never tell by looking at you which one of you are closed off and not. One time I was sitting in the crowd and one of our campus pastors was preaching and I was sitting there like this, actually like this, and my brow were furrowed and they said to me afterwards, what did I say? You know, did I say something wrong? And I'm like, no, it was a great sermon. They're like, man, you had your arms crossed the whole sermon and your brow was furrowed. I was like, man, you was such a good sermon. I was drawn in. I was there. I was thinking about what you were saying. He's like, oh, I thought you were mad at me the whole sermon because your arms were crossed. And I said, no, my face, when I get intense, my eyebrows furrow. And I was really into your sermon. So I've learned I can't tell by your body language whether or not your heart is hard or soft, but God can, and you probably can. You know if you have a hard, resistant heart. You're just trying to hide it. So understand, there's a price to be paid for a hard, resistant, Old Testament language, stiff-necked life. That is that even what little truth you have will be taken away from you because your heart is hard. It just bounces off. And whenever the Bible talks about this hardness of people's hearts, whenever it talks about people's hearts being resistant, it's talking about real people. So in the Old Testament, you have Pharaoh. In the New Testament, you have Pilate. You have Herod. You have the Pharisees. You have the religious leaders. See, all the four different kinds of soils are actually people we've met or are going to meet in the Gospel of Luke. These are real people. Just like as I'm preaching today, there's real people who have hard, resistant hearts. I don't know if it's you or not, but Jesus is right when he talks about a crowd of people and who's in that crowd. So the Pharisees, are they in here listening going, you know, like this? I don't know. Are they you know, got stones in their hand ready to, because there's times that Jesus teach and they're angry. You can see the resistance building up. Jesus isn't making anything up. He's just saying, this is what's truth. But for those of you who are sitting in church today, you need to do a heart check. Is my heart, mind, life, is it open to God or hard and closed off and resistant? You don't want to live with a hard, resistant heart. It'll keep you from truth and it'll poison. It'll calcify your whole life. So what do we do when we think we may have a hard, resistant heart? Well, whenever the Bible talks about the hardness of hearts or resistance of heart, it's always talking about the pride of a heart, the proudness of people, that I'm too smart for you, or I'm too good for you, or, you know, I'm better than you, or I can figure this out myself. I don't need you. That kind of self-sufficient pride that I don't need to hear this stuff. And pride is a sin that keeps us from being intimately connected to God. So I find it absolutely fascinating when we begin to try to answer the question, how do I soften my heart or how do I deal with a hard heart? I'm absolutely fascinated by a verse that Jesus's little brother, we don't talk about this very much. Do you know Jesus had siblings, brothers and sisters? He was the oldest. One of those, their names are in the Bible, one of those brothers, little brother, is named James, and he wrote a letter in the New Testament. It's just cool to think of. This is Jesus' little brother. And so James probably at some point heard some of these stories, and he says something that is just so good. I want to put it up on the screen. He says, humbly accept the word planted in you. Where did he come up with that imagery? His big brother, Jesus, who told the parable of the seed of the word of God landing in your heart. It's being planted in you. And James gives us two powerful words that help us see how we might prepare our soil. So this word humbly is where we get our word humility, right? So point four, if you want to prepare your heart, it starts with this humbly accepting the word planted in you, this word of humility. So we're going to finish the sermon today talking about the word humbly, and then later on in the series, I'll talk about the word accept. So back to our acronym, we can now put the H, that's the word humble. Humbly accept. So that means I'm not proud. I'm the opposite of proud. I'm not resistant. I'm open. I'm listening. I'm humbly recognizing that the word of God is sovereign over my life. I'm submitting my life to the word of God versus me arguing with the Bible, standing over it, trying to find out what's wrong with it and saying it's not true, it's old, it can't relate to me. No, I'm humbly surrendering my life as I hear the word of God. That's a whole different way of listening than the resistant way. And so you ask yourself the question, if I want a humble heart, how do I cultivate a humble heart? And if you've got your notes there, you can see there's only 2 points. I don't have 8 points, 10 points, 15 points, not even five. It's just really simple. How do I cultivate a humble heart? I open my heart. I open my life. I open my mind. I open my eyes. And I say, God, here I am. By the way, this is the way I read the Bible every morning because I have my devotions in the morning. I say from Psalm 119, verse 18, I say, open my eyes. I'm talking to God. God, open my eyes. And I mean open the eyes of my heart. Open my eyes as I read your word. Open my eyes of my heart as I listen, that I might see wonderful things in your law. So actually that word open is another good word. That's going to be our phrase. In order to hear biblically, in order to hear the way Jesus wants us to hear, in order to hear for a harvest, you want to start your hearing with a humble openness. This is absolutely critical. You're not going to be surprised by the word of God grabbing a hold of you if you come into it with a hard, resistant heart. You come humbly. You come open. And it is amazing what gets opened up in the scripture when you come to the scripture with a humble, open heart. Does this make sense? Especially those of you who teach the word. You know this, don't you? Those of you who are discovering the word, you come submissive, you come humble, you come expectant, you come open to see what God has to say. And that is simply asking him. That's what this is. Psalm 119, verse 18 is a prayer. I'm asking God to open my eyes. I'm asking God to give me a humble heart. I'm just exposing my life to God. This is how I open things up. And I just can't tell you how important this is. In fact, it's the first step. Write this down. The seed of God's word planted in a humble heart is the first step. It's not the only step because we got three more letters. We're not going to cover it today. We got three more letters that are all very important. But this is the first step to this great harvest. Now, before I wrap this thing up, let me take you back to the text one more time because I skipped over emphasizing verse 9, where it says Jesus' disciples asked him what this parable meant. And what we have here is Jesus teaches, the disciples want an explanation. Jesus teaches, the disciples want to talk about it. There's a rhythm here. The teaching is in verses 4 to 15. Verse 9 is them saying, hey, can we talk about this? Can we discuss this? You know, what does this mean? How do I apply this to my life? And there's a rhythm here between hearing the teaching and discussing. Hearing the word, discussing the word. hearing the word, applying the word. There's a rhythm here that we talk about in our discipleship process about how if you want to grow as a disciple, you got to devote yourself to the word of God. Be in the word every day, hear it preached every week. Be in the word every day, hear it preached every week. There's that rhythm of humbly open yourself to God's word. And then our next step, you've seen this before, is deepen your roots in groups. It's the same rhythm that Jesus did with his disciples. He taught, and then he said, let's talk about it. He actually created his life group, the 12 disciples, so that they could not just hear the teaching, but so they could talk about it, discuss it, apply it to their lives. Jesus recognized hearing is not enough. We got to have some people to process this with. So genius Jesus creates the first life group. Well, first life group is the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We joke about that, but he creates this group. It's a men's group. So whether it's a men's group or a women's group from, you know, chapter 8, verse 3, or what we're going to call a life group, there's this rhythm, and we've adopted this open door. We teach, and then we invite you into a group to talk about it, discuss it, apply it to your life. So we ask the question at the beginning of the sermon, what's your next step? I have a great idea for you. Join a life group. That's a step all of us can take and need to take. And some of you are like, oh, I don't do gym. I don't do life groups. Can I have your attention, please? What is that? That is resistance. I'm just going to step all over your toes. When you say, I don't do life groups, I'm an introvert. I don't do life groups. I was in one and it didn't go well. I don't do life groups. I don't have time. I don't do life groups. There's weird people in a group. That's resistance. You're actually going crossways against Jesus's plan. Hear the word, talk about it, discuss it, apply it to your life. And so I want us to just do what Jesus did. And I want to challenge you who are saying right now, I don't do life groups. I don't want to do another one. Can you just try the next 7 weeks? That's it. You don't have to do 8, 9, 12, 120, 5,000. Just for the next 7 weeks, let's stop being resistant. Let's practice. Stop being resistant and being humbly open to Jesus's way, hearing the word and getting in a group and talking about it, and discussing it. You say, okay, I'll try it. How do I do that? Well, you can, you know, text group to our church number, group. You can click on this thing, go to our website. And you can go to one of our campus pastors. All of our campus pastors are eager to sign you up for a life group. They'll help you get involved in one that fits your schedule, that fits your station in life. However you do it, go on the website, click that, to text group to that number, or talk to one of our campus pastors. Do it. Get involved in a life group. And over the next 7 weeks, we're going to go through this excursion guide that our pastors have written and that our communications team has printed for us. This is a fantastic resource that I can't wait for you to get in your hands. You'll get one as you walk out today, and this is what you'll do in your life group as you work through this excursion guide based upon the teaching that you're going to hear today and over the next couple of weeks. Would you try it? Would you lay down your resistance? Would you humbly open up your schedule, your life, your heart, your ears, your eyes, and see what God does in your life? Because I started with a question, with, you know, what's the greatest secret? I don't know if this is the greatest, but the secret to spiritual growth is learning how to, capital H-E-A-R, God's word. We want to help you do that. So let me pray together. Oh, before we pray, it gets better because our worship team wrote a song based upon this series that is such a cool song. I think Pierce Brown started it and the guys came together. So when I'm done praying, we're going to sing their song. You're going to love it. So let's pray. Lord, I'm excited about this excursion. I'm excited about life change for people whose lives are not growing and maybe because they're hard and resistant. God, we humbly come to you today. I humbly come as the lead pastor of this church, and I pray for us. I pray for us as a church. May we humbly accept the word of God planted in us today and over the next 7 weeks. May you bring a great harvest in our life, a life of flourishing, spiritual fruit, joy, blessing, as we hear your word and put it into practice. I have such expectation, such hope, as I pray this prayer. And I pray it in Jesus' name.